it is really important that what we're measuring matters to patients. So probably for the past 4 or 5 years now, we have incorporated patients and patient advocates into every aspect of our measure development. So it's often challenging to explain in layman's terms what we're trying to measure and why we're trying to measure it. But by including the voice of the patient in a meaningful and real way with every single measure that we develop, I think makes the measure more solid and more acceptable in the marketplace.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show, where we believe that quality measurement leads to better outcomes. Let us become your go-to source for all things related to quality and medication use in healthcare. We will hit on trending health topics as they relate to performance measurements and find common ground for payers and practitioners. We will discuss how the Eclipse platform can help you with your performance goals, and we will also make sure to keep you up to date on pharmacy quality news. So buckle up and put your thinking cap on. The Quality Corner Show starts now.
Hello, Quality Corner Show listeners. This is your host, Nick Dorich, and we welcome you back to the show. For the month of February 2021, we'll be focusing on cardiovascular disease and heart health. However, before we jump into those conversations, we're going to bring a special episode for you as we start the month. This episode will be airing in the first week of February, and at the time, there will be a transition period at the Pharmacy Quality Alliance, or PQA. Since PQA's inception in 2006, the organization has been led by Laura Cranston. Laura is a pharmacist and has been involved with association management with various organizations. Starting on February 1st, Laura will be transitioning out of the role as PQA's chief executive officer after almost 15 years of successfully leading the organization and promoting the concept of medication quality use. During this transition, Laura will be preparing Micah Cost to take the reins of the organization. Micah is also a pharmacist by background and has been a pharmacy leader in the state of Tennessee, including most recently serving as the executive director of the Tennessee Pharmacist Association. Now, with that introduction, please allow me to introduce our guest for today's podcast, and that is going to be none other than Laura Cranston. We're excited to speak with Laura today about her experiences leading the PQA and the continued importance of quality measurement. Laura, welcome to the Quality Corner Show.
Thanks so much, Nick. It's really a pleasure to be a part of this podcast, and I want to thank you and the entire Pharmacy Quality Solutions team for having me here today.
I gave a quick status update at the beginning of this episode on PQA and about your role with PQA, Laura. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of our conversation today, it would be wonderful if you can provide us with your background and your experience in pharmacy. So, Laura, please take it away.
Thanks again. You know, as many of you might know, I graduated. I'm a St. John's University graduate of their pharmacy program. And one of my first positions outside of graduation was with the Upjohn Company, which was a life sciences organization. They have merged several times over and eventually became part of Pfizer. But the most interesting thing about that experience is the mission of that company was called Keep the Quality Up, which was Dr. Upjohn's slogan for the company. So who would know that after that experience, here I am working for a quality organization some 20 plus years later. A couple of interesting stops for me that really led me to embrace healthcare association management as a career was probably initially as the executive fellow at the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists, where I did a fellowship in association management. And then after that, that led me to the National Association of Chain Drugstores, where it was really a great opportunity to work in a number of capacities at NACDS. And I followed that by starting an organization called the Institute for the Advancement of Community Pharmacy, which was a foundation. And lo and behold, I think with all those years in association management, when the opportunity presented itself to establish a new organization called the Pharmacy Quality Alliance, CMS tapped me for this very, very exciting role. It's also kind of funny that one of the credentials I obtained most recently was a Certified Healthcare Professional in Quality, also known as the CPHQ program, which I'd highly recommend for any of your listeners today that are entrenched in the quality space.
Thank you for that introduction, Laura. Before we now jump into the questions for today's show, I want to provide a quick overview, and I think you'll really enjoy this discussion. There are three questions that we have written down to explore. I'll go down the list, and I'll ask the first question. Laura, you will then respond, and we may have some back and forth to summarize the key points. We're going to repeat that process for the second and third questions, which will wrap up the primary content for the recording. When we do get to the end, we'll have an exciting closing and summary. And now that we have described this process for today's podcast, let's jump into question one. Now, Laura, you had already mentioned and given an overview briefly on the Pharmacy Quality Alliance, PQA. And PQA measures, they help healthcare professionals assess the quality of health plans and the services that they cover. At the organization's inception, it was initially established as a public-private partnership. This means that federal agencies are involved with PQA, and it means that pharmacies and many other organizations are also involved. So are payers, drug manufacturers, technology vendors. That list, I'm sure, goes on. That means there are many viewpoints brought to the organization and many considerations on how to effectively measure improvements in patient outcomes. It means a lot of work has been completed, and there are many successful endeavors done through the work of PQA and its members. So, Laura, what I'd like to hear from you and to get us started, what are the biggest examples of success since PQA was established in 2006?
That's a great question. And I would have to say that since we were established to develop measures for Medicare Part D, our biggest success was doing that and coming up with a set of measures that can be used in that program. You know, today we have measures that are not only used in the CMS Medicare program, but we have measures as well used in the Medicaid program and measures used inside of the health insurance quality exchanges. All in, we have 15 quality measures being used across CMS's quality programs, and even more than that when you add in the state and regional quality programs. I also think that one of the biggest successes of PQA is that we have been able to make a positive impact on a patient's health outcomes and as well as a positive economic impact on total cost of care. In one of CMS's own reports from 2018, when you look at the three PQA adherence measures, it showed the economic benefits of medication adherence inside of the Medicare program and estimated anywhere between 4.2 and 26 billion healthcare costs avoided over a five-year period through better medication adherence.
Great examples there, Laura. And it is exciting to see how appropriate medication use has become an increasingly important topic. And before I jump or continue on to our next question, I do want to take us back to the start. And 2006, how exactly did PQA come together? I know you've told this story many times, but I think it really reinforces the idea that this is a true public-private partnership. This is a conglomerate of ideas to improve medication use and most importantly, improve patient outcomes. So do you mind adding this in as a quick story to inform everyone?
Not at all. So PQA was created at the vision of the administrator of CMS at the time, who was Dr. Mark McClellan. And he had this vision to create a multi-stakeholder organization that would come up with the quality measures that would be used in the Medicare Star Ratings program. And it was very important that these measures be transparent to all stakeholders, payer, PBM, pharmacies, et cetera, and that they would have an opportunity to shape them. And I'm really pleased, you know, we had no money from CMS, so this was truly a basement startup organization for the first 6 years. And then we really kind of got out of that incubator stage and were successful in establishing an infrastructure that's sustained itself. And I'm really pleased to say that when PQA got started, there was about five or six different alliances in the marketplace, nursing home alliances, ambulatory care, physician alliances, and really only PQA has survived over these past 15 years, which is really a tribute to the members and the volunteer experts that come together to help shape the measures.
One of the things that I've really enjoyed, Laura, is that PQA has always been very transparent in how it goes about its measure process and how folks can get involved, right? These measures don't just appear overnight. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and obviously a lot of data into developing measures that are going to be effectively used in the marketplace and ultimately improve patient care. So whenever I see or get a question from a pharmacist or someone that's part of a pharmacist care team that's interested about these measures, everybody thinks, well, hey, how do these get developed? Where do I need to go? PQA has very clear instructions on how those are developed and how people can be involved with their member organizations to be a part of that process. That our first question, Laura, was about that past work and the success of PQA and improvement with quality measures and how there's been many hands that have been leading to that success. But I want to go ahead and turn our attention to the present day. With quality measurement and quality improvement, the nature of programs means that there will always be new considerations. There's either new clinical guidelines, there's new capabilities for providers, there may be new availability of data sets. Recently, PQA and many other organizations, but we're going to focus here on PQA, PQA has drawn extra attention to the needs to address social determinants of health and quality measure assessment, and also for development of a framework for medication access. How are these important examples of the evolution of quality measures and for improving public health outcomes?
Thanks, Nick. That's a great question. And I do want to say at the outset that PQA is not just a measure developer. And as we see our nation and our healthcare system increasingly moving towards more of a value-based care system, everyone wants to measure health outcomes and incentivize care that can improve those outcomes. But we recognized, as many others did, that there are a whole host of social barriers that stand between many patients and the health outcomes that they want and that they really deserve. So, you know, the conditions in which we're born, grow, live, work, and age, those are what we call the social determinants of health. And these are all factors outside of the healthcare system that impact care access and care quality. So what we did 2 years ago now is we developed a medication access framework for quality measurement. And we encouraged the use of this framework by payers and pharmacy providers because it identifies those gaps in getting the needed medication. And it also addresses the financial and non-financial factors that stand between patients and the medications that they need. And so we see this framework increasingly used by health services researchers to inform solutions to these barriers. I think one of the most exciting things that we're developing in 2021, which I'd love to mention, is that we're developing a standardized SDOH patient survey. And that survey will support pharmacist-provided care. In essence, it will be a survey that pharmacists can use to begin to identify patients that might have some of these social determinants of health. And pharmacists are so uniquely positioned not only to identify these SDOH factors, but then to intervene and often refer or triage the patient to some of the services that could be available to them.
Thanks, Laura. When it comes to social determinants of health and impact for healthcare, I actually think to a metaphor that's been used in the coronavirus pandemic, and many people point out, well, we're all in the same boat. And I heard that twisted in a good way to suggest that we're all in the same ocean dealing with the same elements, but each of us may be on a different size boat, and that boat may be better or less suited to dealing with those elements. And I think that's a better metaphor for addressing this. And Laura, related to social determinants of health and how we look and improve quality measures, I know one item that PQA has done in some more recent years is having the involvement of patient groups or patient caregiver groups, excuse me. Do you mind talking about that a little bit? Because when we talk about quality measures and improving care, it's usually thought of from the standpoint us as a provider or as the health plan that's managing the cost, et cetera. But the patient aspect has to be considered. And PQA, I think, did a nice job pivoting to include that as part of the process. So do you mind commenting on that inclusion?
Yeah, thanks so much, Nick. And it is really important that what we're measuring matters to patients. So probably for the past 4 or 5 years now, we have incorporated patients and patient advocates into every aspect of our measure development. So it's often challenging to explain in layman's terms what we're trying to measure and why we're trying to measure it. But by including the voice of the patient in a meaningful and real way with every single measure that we develop, I think makes the measure more solid and more acceptable in the marketplace. So, you know, we used to have just a patient and caregiver advisory panel, but then we said to ourselves, no, it's more important that the patient is actually on the measurement team as we're developing measures in a lot of different areas.
Thanks for that explanation, Laura. I would say there's been a lot of updates or changes to the ways that PQA does things in its measure development, and that's par for the course, right? Quality improvement. We have to be improving, and that does include PQA, how it develops measures, and I think that's perhaps my favorite aspect of it. I often reference on the show, pharmacist, right? You're doing soap notes. That O is objective, but the subjective part and ultimately the assessment and plan has to be aligned with what the patient needs are and what they're expecting from care. So I think that's a great update. Laura, we'll now move to our third question. And we already addressed the past. We already addressed the present. So we're obviously going to now consider the future. And I want you to look into your crystal ball a little bit and what the future may look like for medication-related quality measures and for pharmacy practice. CMS and other federal agencies, but also private organizations in the healthcare industry show no sign of slowing down when it comes to value-based care and moving away from a strict fee-for-service model. It's a matter of getting on board the quality train here and now, because that's only going to be ramping up more and more so that we can help shape the use of quality measures. So Laura, third and final question, can you explain the importance of pharmacists being involved with measure evaluation and for shifting from fee-for-service to value-based payment?
Absolutely. So this shift that you're talking about in value-based care is obviously happening across healthcare, and pharmacists are playing a role today ever greater than ever before in delivering affordable, accessible, and high-quality healthcare services. So what we've started to do is in recognizing that those services are really the heart of pharmacist-provided care, we have embarked over the past 2 years in developing a set of pharmacy level measures, measures that pharmacists and pharmacies want to be held accountable to with the payers that they're dealing and interacting with on a day-to-day basis. So PQA is developing these pharmacy performance measures that will provide the pharmacist the opportunity to demonstrate their contributions in patient-centered care. I also should say that just about 2 weeks ago in mid-January, there was a final rule released by CMS. And in that final rule, they are alluding to the creation of a pharmacy quality rating system. So just the way you have a CMS Medicare star rating system for health plans, they're beginning to come around and say, hey, we might also need a pharmacy rating system. And they're talking about the measures in that final rule, the measures needing to be developed that could go into that. So we really think we're in a very, very pivotal point where we are finally getting recognized as pharmacists and pharmacies that we want to be measured differently than a health plan or a PBM.
Now, Laura, you had mentioned with the grouping and pharmacy measures, there's a couple that are being looked at, hemoglobin A1C, some proportion of days or PDC measures, medication management. I do want to point out that these are the initial set of measures for consideration, right? There was a much larger pool that was considered and a task force or a group, a concept advisory group that came up with a whole list of ideas and whittled it down to just these three. So do you mind maybe, you know, your thought process on this or how that may change going forward, because it is an important aspect, I think, to call out for pharmacy. This is the starting point, right? And that may continue to change. So how does pharmacy continue to be involved? And if as programs go forward, what do you think that might look like?
Well, that is the $64,000 question. And so when you look at the measures that we're developing as pharmacy level measures, the interesting thing is if you asked a pharmacist, how do they want to be measured? So many pharmacists will say, oh, measure me on, you know, my ability to close gaps in adult immunizations, you know, issue the flu vaccine, issue the third of in the series of HPV vaccines, you know, measure me in closing those immunization gaps. And while PQA would love to do that today, I just need to point out that the data isn't always readily available to be able to measure that. Sometimes when we're giving flu vaccines or pneumo vaccines or the HPV series, you have to say, where does that data reside? And sometimes it resides in a state-based registry, but how can PQA as a measure developer get access to that data? So I sometimes think pharmacists are putting together this roadmap with PQA of what they want to be measured against, but the rate limiting step is oftentimes the data. So if we can figure out the data piece, PQA will be able to develop a very robust set of measures in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, it's an exciting opportunity. And as pharmacists are able to provide more services, that opens up a whole nother playbook of opportunities. So that, well, if I go to one pharmacy, they may be focusing on care for patients with diabetes. There may be another pharmacy that focuses on immunizations, like you had suggested. Those two pharmacies, they may not be looked at, or they may not be interested in being evaluated in that same way because of how they're focusing on care for the patient. So if they're improving care for a patient and there's flexibility with how that can be really done and managed, that can be something that we can recognize in healthcare.
But, absolutely. And Nick, I just want to say one last thing.
Sure.
You know, as Pharmacy Quality Solutions oftentimes has access to a lot of data. You have data from health plans, you have data from PBMs, and in some cases, you have data from pharmacies. So I really also think that PQS is an excellent partner to the work that PQA is doing, and I could see a lot more closer connections as we try to develop these pharmacy measures.
Thanks for that comment, Laura. Yeah, it goes back to a saying that I was taught, I think, day one in pharmacy school. If it's not documented, it didn't happen. And for me now, it's almost 20 years past that point, and I keep referring to that. And it's probably the most commonly used phrase that I share in pharmacy. It speaks to, yes, we need better data. We need partners like PQS. We need to be working with other organizations that are really helping to show the value of pharmacy. We're all in that part together to show pharmacists as a real advocate for improving patient care. Now, Laura, I do want to thank you for joining the Quality Corner show today and for sharing your insight about medication use and for quality measurement. We do continue to hammer home that message about understanding quality measurement because it's going to be essential for the future of pharmacy practice and payment programs. Pharmacists should be recognized as a healthcare provider, and as the services that pharmacists can provide are expanded, pharmacists will be exposed to how quality measures are used for other providers. There is an interesting opportunity as organizations like PQA focus on medication-related quality measures that can be appropriately utilized and attributed to pharmacies or perhaps even pharmacists. There is also an opportunity to outreach with other providers and to explore how pharmacists can aid with their quality measure assessment. So when you think about putting all of those elements together, we've got a total untapped potential for pharmacists to recognize. But Laura, before we wrap up for today, I do have a final question for you. And we are still early in the 2021 year, and part of our focus here at the Quality Corner Show is the importance of goal setting. As we have stated, you, Laura, have the great opportunity for a new career and personal opportunities as you are handing off the leadership of PQA. So as you set your own goals for this year, 2021, and maybe there's one or two that you won't mind sharing with us, what would you recommend to our pharmacy industry listeners as they start to work on their own goals for 2021?
That's a great question. So I always like to have professional goals as well as personal goals. And From a professional standpoint, my goal is to partner with an entity or an organization that's building a product or service that will directly impact a patient's care and allow that patient to live a fuller life. And for many patients, especially the elderly, I have a 81-year-old mother who is really dealing with social isolation during this pandemic and loneliness, which is, you know, to some treated as a disease. And so it's important for me to find a way to engage her, even if she's, you know, several hundred miles away, and give her the ability to remain independent and live on her own. So I think finding true solutions in the marketplace to address social isolation is a passion of mine, and I'd love to try to tie it to a professional goal. And lastly, I think my goal is just to continue to stay physically active. I look forward to spending a couple months of downtime hiking and biking before jumping into my next career. And finally, I think the one last thought I would like to leave with our podcast audience today is never stop learning. You know, during this pandemic, I think a lot of us have more time on our hands because we're not traveling quite as much. And there are so many interesting online courses someone can take during this pandemic. So for me, next up on my list is I'm going to take a program that PQA developed last year that I haven't had an opportunity to take, and that's the Medication Use Quality Certificate Program. So just want to do that before I sail off here, and looking forward to diving into that 15-credit-hour program.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Laura. We as pharmacists always need to be committed to learning. And even if you're not a pharmacist, whoever you are out in the world, it's a good thing to keep learning. It keeps us curious. It keeps us active. And I certainly can appreciate that. And certainly we wish you the best as you're keeping active with your hiking, biking, and with your passion efforts, as you said, around addressing people and isolation and loneliness. As we talked about earlier in the episode, how we're able to care for the patient is often an overlooked aspect when we are talking about medication use, but it is absolutely essential for improving patient care that we have to do that. So I'm very excited to seeing and hearing your next steps here going forward. And I'm sure that our listeners may be interested in hearing from you again as you transition out of the role at PQA. So if somebody does want to connect, do you have a way that they can contact you?
Sure. Probably the best way is through LinkedIn. And I do respond pretty promptly on LinkedIn. And then probably the second best way is just email, old-fashioned email, at laura@cranstonassoc.com.
Thank you very much, Laura. And with that, we have now officially finished our content for today's episode. Laura, we do again thank you for joining us and for your continued commitment to patient care and to pharmacy practice. I would also thank you for your years of commitment to PQA and its members, but most importantly, the commitment to improving patient care. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the patients. And I think that's one thing you've also made abundantly clear in this conversation today. So that gets a big gold star next to it. This now wraps up our conversation today with Laura, but you should join us next week and for the rest of February as we're going to turn our focus to a clinical topic of conversation. February is often referenced as Heart Health Month, and we are going to keep with that theme for the next few episodes. Please stay tuned for some episodes on patient management and medication use related to cardiovascular disease. We also intend to have a focus on applicable measures, quality measures for cardiovascular disease. So rest assured, there's many that we could go into with that topic. We're not going to hit them all, but we hope to give you a good starting point. With that, I again appreciate you listening to the Quality Corner Show, and there is one final message from the PQS team.
The Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show has a request for you. Our goal is to spread the word about how quality measurement can help improve health outcomes, and we need your help in sharing this podcast to friends and colleagues in the healthcare industry. We also want you to provide feedback, ask us questions, and suggest health topics you'd like to see covered. If you are a health expert and you want to contribute to the show or even talk on the show, please contact us. You can email info@pharmacyquality.com. Let us know what is on your mind, what we can address, so that you are fully informed. We want you to be able to provide the best care for your patients and members, and we wish all of you listeners out there well.